As you may have seen at the top of the bulletin, it says that this is the third Sunday of Easter. Just as a reminder, Easter is not just a day in the Christian tradition. It is an entire season that lasts between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, 50 days. And so we are continuing to reflect upon the resurrection. And the assigned lectionary epistle reading from today comes from the letter of 1 John, reading from the third chapter. See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who knows sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. On Easter Sunday, I mentioned that no matter where you or I stand as to how we perceive the literalness of the resurrection event itself, these stories point to an undeniable significance in understanding a basic premises that undergirds Christianity. So, in addition to looking at the theological significance of the resurrection, it is crucial that we also explore its practical implications in our individual lives and in the community of faith. And it was several years ago that our adult church school class spent several months exploring and discussing the progressive Christianity curriculum called Living the Questions, Jesus, Saving Jesus. This is when many of us were first introduced to the term practicing resurrection. That sounded very strange at first. Most of us simply think of the resurrection as some kind of ancient experience in the lives of Jesus' first disciples. But to practice resurrection brings its implications into our own lives, calling us to put into action what it means to be Easter people. And as I shared on Easter Sunday, the curriculum states, the real power of the resurrection comes when the followers of Jesus become the body of Christ in the world. In both society at large and in people's personal lives, the practice of resurrection is about otherwise dead people being inwardly transformed and empowered to transform society. So, how has your faith helped transform your life, your relationships, the life of this community of faith, of society itself? In and through these ancient stories of Jesus' resurrection come real and concrete promises that indeed find evidence in our reality. Those are the promises of hope and new life and transformation. I have no doubt that the sacred presence of Christ was very real to those first disciples, and that that same presence is real in the church today. And that presence is real in our lives. So by whatever means Christ was made real to, or after Jesus' crucifixion, the followers of Jesus were transformed. They were transformed into a courageous, caring, and prophetic community. And one of the mysteries of Easter, then, is that a community of faith can be empowered, and along with its individual members, it can be transformed. The scriptures give evidence to various kinds of transformation. And we see this evidence in the lives of individuals and in communities today. They are whenever we are transformed from fear to courage, transformed from feelings of hate and resentment to feelings of love and forgiveness, transformed from a sense of worthlessness to understanding oneself as a valued, blessed, and beloved child of God. The New Testament also reveals that perhaps the most important and powerful witness to the resurrection took the form of a community of faith in which people cared deeply for each other and they cared for one another. In such a community, people transcended their differences, including the seemingly insurmountable barriers of culture and social status and religious background and even race. In order to live together in unity and to demonstrate their love for one another and to make sure that no one was ever left alone in their time of need. That's the kind of community that changed the world, and that's the kind of community in whose heritage we stand. Speaking frankly, however, I believe that the wider church today has a problem communicating this message. This message of love and redemption. Because the church itself often appears neither loving nor redeemed. Therefore, a crucial element of our ministry is to help change that perception as we bear witness to the love and compassion that we have for one another. That compassion leads to forgiveness and reconciliation that we offer to one another when we have been wronged. And that includes not only within this particular congregation, but also within the needs to be extended to our fellow Presbyterian congregations and with other Christian denominations and also with other faith traditions and to those who have no faith tradition. So through all of our own diversity and our own differences of opinion, and our strengths and weaknesses, we must recognize that as a resurrection community, we must be a forgiving community. That's part of what it means to practice resurrection. And accomplishing that means stretching beyond even our own understanding of what it means to be inclusive. And as today's epistle reading from 1 John 3 reminds us, as children of God, we are all part of God's family. Therefore, each and every one of you play a very important and unique role in helping our community of faith to be all that it can become. We're the strong minister to the weak, the assured to the doubting, the healthy to the sick, the calm to the angered, all knowing full well that at some point in the future, the situation will likely change. And those receiving ministry will need to minister to others. Because those who have been offering ministry will be in need at some point of receiving ministry. So the real proof of the resurrection isn't found in any verifiable scientific evidence. Rather, it is found in how we minister to and treat one another. Period. Both within this community of faith, within our families, and with those we meet on a daily basis. So what are some quick examples of how we as a community of faith have been practicing resurrection? Well, I want to mention just three. And the most immediate examples have occurred very recently. First, as I shared with the time with the children, there was the event that I will remember gratefully and humbly for the rest of my life, truly. And that was the 10th anniversary dinner that you hosted for me this past Friday evening. It reminded me that it is indeed often harder for me to receive than it is to give. So know that your expressions of love and support and appreciation minister to me in profound ways. You have been practicing resurrection with me. And a second example also occurred recently. College Hill opened its doors, literally, to serve as a site to feed Tulsa Public School children affected by the teacher walkout the past 2 weeks, as have several of our fellow congregations. And a very special thanks to you, Terry Baxter, for being our man on the ground to help coordinate volunteers and to spend his own days here at the church practicing resurrection. And the third and final example I want to mention, among countless others, involves the experience of the confirmation class over the past 6 months, of which it was an honor and joy for me and all of us other leaders to serve as teachers. The combined efforts from College Hill and Fellowship Congregational Churches demonstrated in many ways what it means to practice resurrection. Who ever heard of a confirmation class that included both Presbyterians and United Church of Christ youth and teachers? From a tradition standpoint, that was a real barrier breaker. And more importantly, however, is the experience that the youth themselves had as they studied and played and served together and explored deep issues of faith. And our hope from the very beginning wasn't so much on how well they learned the basics of our denominations, or even how fully they understood the theological issues that are complex for everybody. Instead, it was the experience of developing meaningful and genuine community as a group. This is something that they will remember, and it will make an impact on their lives in understanding the positive role that an authentic community of faith can make in one's life. And it is my prayer that you carry that with you. So I leave you with this charge today. Live into the promises revealed in the mystery of the resurrection. Hope, new life, and transformation. For in doing so, we bear witness to the sacred presence in our midst. And that is how practicing resurrection becomes a reality for us, and how we live out what it means to be an inclusive, forgiving, and loving community of faith. Amen.